This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to ENN on this Tuesday, September 14th. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
You can hate me if you like. Vast majority of people love me.
Good evening to Don.
Good boy, you beat the Yankees. Good boy.
Good evening, Don.
I'm tired of being the runt of the litter.
Good evening, Michael. Sorry?
I don't remember making that sound.
Wait, was that the edited version of the first drop?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was. Okay. He didn't do that twice.
No. Otherwise, we'd be calling a doctor.
Good evening to Don again, speaking of which.
I want to start moving on!
What else, Don?
Egg Foo Young!
Anything else? Yeah. I like Egg Foo Young quite a bit.
When he breathes, when he vomits, he does it better than I do.
A lot was said today, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's talk Giants a little bit, shall we?
Shall we?
Yeah, I think the first person we should talk about is Saquon.
Oh, look, you put an accent on the second syllable.
Yeah. Saquon. Right. Let's hear from let's hear from Dave Rothenberg.
Oh.
Why?
Because he's a big Giants fan. What does he have to say about Saquon?
Because I can't tell you how many people I've had to hear from that say Barkley is just, he's such a phenomenal athlete and this crazy weapon, and he changes the game, and he's the best running back you've ever seen. First of all, he's not.
No.
All right, he's just not. Second of all, I will, on my deathbed, Chris, like the nurses will come up and like, what are you saying, Dave? And I'll mumble to them. You do not take a running back second in the draft ever.
He's going to say that on his deathbed. So his two sons are going to be, they'll probably be married by then. His long-suffering wife, Sherry, is going to be there.
Long-suffering.
Call a nurse over and say, you don't take a running back second in the draft. Yeah, he's got his priorities in order.
And you know what the nurse would respond to Dave by saying then?
I flush it.
She'd be like, you know, I really, it's funny you mention that. I always felt that was Don LaGreca's big thing.
He told me that last week in the same bed.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
That is,
it just
very
got dark, huh?
Now, Saquon Barkley, for one, does not feel that his explosiveness is an issue. He feels that everything's still there. He just feels he didn't give himself an opportunity to break a long one. Let's hear from Saquon on playing a short week, short rest situation, and then playing a game just coming off of this major injury.
I don't think the schedule's ideal for coming back off a major knee injury to have two games back-to-back, but that's what it is. That's what's in front of me, and that's the challenge I have to face. And to the question of, you know, my workload and how much can I handle, you know, it's easy for me to stay up here and say, I don't know, just listen to the coaches. But when you're in the game and your adrenaline going in and you start getting a rhythm and you start feeling yourself again, that can go from less reps or more reps. I don't know, to be honest. So I don't make that decision. I'm just playing my role by showing up on Thursday and the plays that I do get, try to help my team to the best of my capability.
I think I'm in the minority on this. I'm not sure if Don really agrees with me. Saquon didn't do anything in the first game that he doesn't do. That's what he is. If he doesn't break the long one, you know what? He's not going to have good numbers at the end of the day. When you look at his average yards per carry, it gets bumped up with that occasional 60-yard blast. But he is a 2.5-yard a carry guy unless he gets those big yardage. Why I don't look at a guy. I don't look at him like I look like an Alvin Kamara. That's not what Kamara does. He'd get 5 yards a chunk.
Well, but the difference, Don, I was just going to say, the difference is in year one, though. That may have been the case. But he still scored 11 touchdowns, and beyond that, he He had 91 receptions for another 700 yards. They used him so much more out of the backfield in 2018 than they have the last couple of years.
Hey, listen, it's not his fault, but again, you're taking him second overall. So, you know what? He should be better than Christian McCaffrey. And that's saying a lot, but McCaffrey's going to have like 80 yards rushing and 90 yards in the air. The guy is going to give you 140, 150 all-purpose yards in a game, and that's what Barkley's supposed to do. And he almost admitted what you said, Michael. He almost broke one. Well, yeah, great, you break one, and that kind of cosmetically makes it seem like you had a better day, but I'm looking to find some consistency. It's great if you could break off a 60-yard run for a touchdown, but what about the 3-yard losses that are putting you in a third and long situation and getting your quarterback folded in half?
I get abused when I say this, but I'll continue to say it. That's who Barry Sanders was. That's who he was.
And listen, Barry Sanders was all world, okay? But what did Detroit ever do? What, did he go to the playoffs like twice in his career, one trip to the championship game? Mm-hmm. You know, because you've got to assemble talent around him, a quarterback, wide receivers, and then you can complement the offense with a really good running game. That's what Kamara is able to do in New Orleans when you've got a great offense and for most of his career a Hall of Fame quarterback and weapons galore, and so you can't just focus on stopping Saquon. That's what they were hoping they were going to have this year by going out and getting wide receivers. Let's see it. So I think it's a combination, Michael, of him being a tad bit overrated and also the offense not coming up with a game plan to best utilize him. And let's see if that gets better as he gets stronger. But, yeah, they're not catching any breaks with him playing on Thursday.
You know what happened when Barry Sanders finally made it to the NFC Championship game?
Lost to the Washington Redskins.
Football team. That's
well,
right,
they were the Redskins then.
Yeah, they were. Just a slaughterhouse. But, listen, also, that's a high bar to say, and that would be if you're Barry Sanders. I mean, that's still not where he is yet. But it stinks because I really do love the guy. I want him to be successful. Here's Saquon. He says that the Giants have the talent.
We're talented. We know the talent that we have. We trust the coaching staff that we have. But it's on us to go out there and capitalize. And that's offense, defense, and special team. I feel like we're able to do that more consistent. The season's going to play out how we want to play out. I think that's where, you know, we find ourselves, whether it's from when I've been here or the last 2 years or even last week. Just those situations we didn't capitalize on. And that puts yourself behind in ball games and put yourself out of position to win games. And we have the talent. We have the playmakers. I think you guys saw what Shep's able to do in the slot. KG making plays. DJ making big throws. The list goes on and on. You know, we have so much talent on the team, so we just got to go out there and capitalize, and so we can be able to show our talent and show how special we can be as an offense and a team as a whole.
Hey, let's be positive. It's the first game of the season. They hardly played in the preseason. That was by choice. So let's see if it gets better. It better. But we'll give them a break. It's one game.
Let's stay with the – sorry, Michael, you said something?
I didn't say a word.
Oh. Let's stay with the Giants. Chad Pennington was on with DiPietro.
Oh, my goodness.
And Rothenberg. Chad Pennington's thoughts on Daniel Jones.
Well, when you look at some of the things that he can do from the pocket and what he has done, there's talent there. And obviously, I think everybody's on him about turning the football over. This was something that was a Jameis Winston problem as well. And so that's something that he's got to be able to fix. What you learn at the quarterback role and really in the league itself is that more games are lost than they are won. Typically, it's a play or two that you didn't make or didn't do to cause the outcome of a game. It's rarely just great plays that win the game. You can go back and look at three or four plays and go, well, if we just took care of the ball here, if we just did this, you know, the outcome would have been different. And so I think that's what Daniel has to learn. He's got to learn that, you know, sometimes, especially when you're scrambling with the football, your job is to get a little bit of yardage and then get down.
Daniel Jones says he knows that this Giants offense can be better.
I think we all believe we can do it. We've got to execute and be more consistent with it. I think situationally we got to be better in certain areas and convert some more opportunities. But I think we believe we can do it, and we know we can. So it's about going out there and executing.
Where's your Snapchat, Don?
One thing that could certainly help out the Giants would be if Evan Engram is available this week. Obviously a short turnaround, but they are working to try to see. Joe Judd says he hopes that Engram would be available for the Giants this week. Now, speaking of Daniel Jones and the man he sounds and acts just like, Eli Manning, what did you guys think of the Manning brothers' performance last night?
I liked it. I felt like this strange loyalty to Steve Levy, who I've known forever. So I kept like switching back to the game. But it was interesting because it was new. It was different. At times it was annoying. I think Peyton at the start was like trying a little too hard, bro. But I think that once Barkley got there, I thought it was entertaining. And the Russell Wilson part was entertaining as well. But the ratings show that so few people engage with the Mannings, and you know the vast majority of the audience was on Levy and company.
How small?
Like 0.2%, and like Levy, Greasy, and Riddick was they were like 16.8.
Now
that's interesting because you said, you know, you were like, you were saying you sort of feel for Levy and company because they're up against the Mannings, and I said, it doesn't matter. No one's going to watch the Mannings. They're going to watch the regular game. I ended up watching it and was like, oh, wow, this is fantastic, the Mannings. And then it turns out the ratings show that everyone did, in fact, just stick with the regular broadcast.
Well, it's tough. You're talking about ESPN2. The game is also on ABC. So a simulcast on ABC and ESPN. So it's just a matter of people being aware of it.
Was that just yesterday?
Yeah, I think it's just yesterday because it was opening day. I don't think it's always going to be that way. So I think the rating will go up next week when it's just ESPN. But, guys, that's a terrific game. So I'm good. I'm a traditionalist, so I like hearing the play-by-play and the analysts during the course of the game. To me, if that were a blowout, then maybe I'd want to listen to the Mannings and hear an interview with Ray Lewis and an interview with Russell Wilson. But to have that going on when you've got such a competitive game, I just didn't find it to be necessary. So that's just me, but I was fine with the regular broadcast.
I see what you're saying, Don, because you're distracted. You know, the game is on the majority of the screen, but then there's Eli and Peyton's face, and they're talking about it. They're not doing play-by-play, and you're kind of paying attention to what they say and looking at them and not really focusing on the game. So I think if you really want to watch a football game, that's not the way to do it. You're not going to get the full-fledged football game if you're checking in on what the Mannings are having to say. I think it was entertaining. I think there's something for it. I think there's something there for some people. But if you're really locked into the game, it might be, as Don said, at its best during a blowout when each play doesn't count.
If you had the Sunday night game like the Bears-Rams that wasn't completely a blowout but it wasn't overly compelling, then maybe the rating will be higher. But for a fantastic back-and-forth game, I was good. So I'm sure this is the insurance policy because they can't flex out of poor games. So I think you'll probably see the benefits when the game isn't very good.
Well, clearly, clearly the coolest moment for me was them having access to Russell Wilson mid-season the day after a game, just sitting around with them for an hour. Like, that's an unusual thing to get, and I thought it gave us some solid insight. But you're right. I mean, it was such a fantastic game at that point. I probably, in retrospect, I'm sure I would have enjoyed the game in a different way had I been watching the original broadcast. Now, keep in mind, Don, I was just celebrating, you know, because things got a little scary there. I was so happy. The Ravens took a 3-point lead. I'm good. 37 seconds left. And the Raiders fly down the field and nail a 55-yard field goal to force overtime. Then the Raiders set up, it seems that they win the game. The touchdown comes back. They're at the half-yard line, throw an interception in the end zone. It was a real back and forth, but in the end, remember, Anthony, I don't know if you have my music ready, but in the end, remember, when that game finished, there's only one person in first place in our standings. Fantastic.
Interesting. Now, what was very interesting, I don't know, Michael, I don't know if you saw it in the moment.
That's sad. Sad.
So the Raiders score an apparent touchdown to win the game. Now, watching on television, I knew that it was going to be reviewed. They instantly put the graphic up that the play is under review.
And at his home, Joe Judge threw a flag.
But what I thought was really interesting is there's everybody's on the field. Players are congratulating each other. Lamar Jackson's hugging different Raiders all over the field. So they obviously didn't know. So I'm wondering, the fans in the building,
the Raider fans, like, thinking the game is over when you know it was going to get reviewed, and then when you see the replay, clearly it's coming back.
Yeah, I'm sure there were plenty of people who literally were sure the game was over and were on their way out the door already.
So you it didn't matter. The Raiders ended up winning anyway, but can you imagine had they lost that game?
And who impressed the heck out of you?
Carr. I mean, he's so great in interviews. He's just got something about him. He's tremendous.
He's an interesting
I thought
dude.
His interview with Lisa Salters was great.
No, he's got a lot of personality. Big win for the Raiders. Went exactly as I expected.
Yeah, he's such a clown.
Hey, listen, he nailed it.
I did say
there was an atmosphere in that building.
That was it.
I think that's a good road trip for us to take one day. Show up on a Thursday, Thursday night, Friday, have good dinner, gamble again. Saturday, good dinner, gamble again, go to the game Sunday, just get on a plane.
I was kind of dubious about them going to Vegas because Vegas to me feels like, you know, when the NHL went to Florida, like – Who's going to care? Because there's so many transplants. There's so many people that are visiting. Like, will people actually get into the team? And the Golden Knights, it's been incredible. The atmosphere, tremendous. You see it with the Raiders. And do the Raiders really need to have a home, honestly? I mean, they've got fans all over the country. They never changed the uniforms when they played in Oakland, L.A., back to Oakland again. So Vegas just seems to be a great, great place. And I'm wondering, will the NBA and Major League Baseball follow suit and go?
And another thing that we could do when we take this road trip, like the Saturday after the dinner, right? And then, you know, we're all a little bit tipsy. We go to the 24-hour barbershop and get ourselves a Mark Davis. And just go to the game with a Mark Davis haircut.
Yeah, there's got to be. See, that would be a great center stage.
Why?
Because
all I have to do is say why.
Because I was thinking about, He obviously cares about what he's wearing, right? Like he's.
I mean, he looks like an insane person.
But I don't know how he thinks that hair looks okay.
Did you ever hear the story though? Like the person who cuts his hair is in L.A. and he doesn't like to fly, so he drives. Like when they were playing in Oakland, he would drive like 7 to 8 hours one way and then back just to get the haircut. And I would tell him, it's awful. Stop it. Just put a bowl over your head. You're like Mo from the Three Stooges.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On the way out the door here, Michael has baseball to do. I do want to say this. Richard Deitch tweeted earlier that obviously, you know, football's involved. It makes things a little bit kooky because the women play on Saturday, the men play Sunday. But U.S. Open, the women's final this year, outrated the men's final by nearly 500,000.
Well, the men's final was over right away. I mean, I'm not making excuses.
Well, yeah, and honestly, Djokovic, I think people assumed Djokovic would just roll Medvedev, and of course went the opposite way. Also, you'll be excited to know that Emma Raducanu attended her first Met Gala last
Raducanu.
Night, guys. I'm sorry? Emma Raducanu. Right, she was there. Now, lastly, guys, let's say farewell to the late, great Norm MacDonald and look back at a couple of his best ESPY moments.
It's great to be here on ESPN. I love sports, man. You can see sports on ESPN you don't see on other networks. You know, like kickboxing, that's my favorite sport. Kickboxing is great. When you think about it, it combines the style and grace of boxing with kicking. Hey, have you heard about this? Ted Turner and NBC plan to start their own rival football league to compete with the NFL. And not much known about the specifics of this new league, except for this, it will suck. They know that. Well, how about them Winter Olympics? They're finally underway, so we've got a lot of great stuff to look forward to in the next 2 weeks, like hockey and, just hockey, really.
Rest in peace, Norm MacDonald. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday, September 14th.
I'll come back, take phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's hear from Dave Rothenberg.
Why?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.